Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into an epic pitch for an awesome movie. It's a morning edition one, and I'm your talk radio slash novelty song one-hit wonder, Freddie Wong.
Bleh, I am Count Will. I've come to break your plots. Bleh.
Hey, my name's Matt Arnold. I'm just hanging out. I'm hoping there's no sort of mash or any monsters around. I'm just looking for a good quiet time.
Man, I've got news for you.
What?
I was breaking with my boys late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. We're doing Monster Mash today.
Probably ears. It's a podcast. It's an auditory medium. Your ears, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fair enough. It's just, work with me. I'm going off the dome here and I'm freestyling, Sometimes your ciphers don't work out the way you want them to.
I
want to
be known as the freestyle rapper who corrects the other freestyle rappers, Samantha. Just, you know what, probably contextually you should say this instead, like rhyme wise.
I'm sure they would love that.
A genie grants you the wish that you can freestyle, but you can only freestyle about the song Monster Mash.
You know, you could make a little boutique career out of that. I think you could,
that's true.
Yeah, you could be a Halloween rapper. I'm not saying you're going to win a Grammy or be respected by the rap community, but you could work out.
Kendrick Lamar's boo. Just like Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
That's a tongue twister.
It really is. Hopefully Freddie cut out the first time where I choked on saying that.
That's Chad's job now.
Thanks, Chad. So they wrote a little ditty called Monster Mash back in the good old year of...
62.
1962. Back in the groovy year of 1962, back when... America was still rosy-cheeked. Well, don't do that, because then I think...
America was great again. Is this what we're trying to get back to? Is that really the secret to the...
the decade where the Monster Mash...
That's the October surprise. Trump's going to be like, I'm bringing back Monster Mash. We're like, it never really went.
Been here the whole time. So yeah, Monster Mash is a little one-hit wonder ditty from the 1960s that has burrowed its earworm way into the American consciousness and always comes out on the radio. Right around now, right around spooky season, you might have started hearing Monster Mash on the radio. But it's a charming little song about a mad scientist and his monster buddies who all do a fun dance. And it's been playing on mall speakers all across America for years, so we figured it was time, boys. It was time the Monster Mash got a $400 million Hollywood movie with a bunch of financing from China. It's going to play to the international market. This is the time.
Monster Mash really is like the peak of like kitsch. Like, it's what something like Snakes on a Plane wishes it was. Like, it is, it's like goofy and dumb. And like, when you first hear it, you're like, oh, this is bad. But then it's like, no, there's something truly, I mean, it's lasted longer than almost any song. That's like, this is the top songs of like the 60s that's still played.
I said this to Will before we recorded, but one of my favorite podcasts, Memory Palace, with Nate DeMeo, did an incredibly good Monster Mash episode that goes over the history of the song and like the history of the guy who wrote it and just hit the story of being a one-hit wonder and how he's tried to kind of, follow this song over the decades of his life. And it is a great episode of podcasting. That is, episode's called Late One Night, but I highly recommend it for anybody who's interested.
Can you imagine trying to chase that dragon, trying to recreate the magic that is Monster Mash?
He tried. He did.
They did, Matt. A couple years later, he banged out Monster's Holiday, the Christmas follow-up to Monster Mash. So maybe we can do that one at a later date and do our Christmas-themed sequel.
I was going to make a joke about VGHS being our Monster Mash, but...
No, dang. Well, I stepped out. I'm sorry.
That's good. VGHS is no Monster Mash, let's be clear. Okay.
All right, so let's dive in.
All right, let's pull up the lyrics. Let's get into this.
I've got the lyrics up. Put yourselves in a spooky autumnal winter harvest mode, my friends. Where did my Monster Mash lyrics go?
Where did my Monster Mash lyrics go?
The Igor, Halloween. Igor, where are my lyrics, you impetuous fool? Mash good.
So I've been reading detective stories, and it just seems like a line of dialogue when like detective walks, it's like they open the door and it's like a housekeeper, be like, oh, yes, Will Campos, he's here, the old man. Let me go find him. And then like Will crosses the hallways like, where's my Monster Mash lyrics, damn it? And you're like, I get where I'm going. This guy's eccentric.
Professor Campos, you're supposed to be the number one arson homicide expert in all of North England, but
he's really the
you've lost your mind, clearly.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I was working in my lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
So this is from the point of view of the scientist.
Correct.
Yes.
And it's essentially Frankenstein here at the beginning.
Essentially Frankenstein, but then basically he was working, and then his monster rose from the slab, seemingly from nowhere, and started to do the monster mash. The monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. He did the mash. Can you guys be my backup singers and do the parts in parentheses?
Okay.
Yes.
He did the mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
From my laboratory in the castle east.
Wahoo!
It's like Mario, right?
Yeah, it's Mario. Just exactly. To the master bedroom where the vampires feast.
Wahoo!
The ghouls all came from their humble abodes.
That's him dying.
This is the worst thing we've ever done on this podcast. To get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the mash. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Yeah. They did the mash. Yada, yada, yada. The zombies were having fun. Tennis shoop wahoo. This party had just begun. Tennis shoop wahoo. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. Now, here's where things get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The scene was rocking. All were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. Gotta love that.
Well, that's a cool band.
The Coffin Bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker 5.
Shit,
when
yeah.
out of his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?" It's now the monster mash, and okay. It's a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drac's a part of the band.
Oh, so it's solved.
Wow. To go from, like, complaining old boomer to part of the band. Wow.
I mean, Drac's pretty cool then.
Yeah, because that's
Drac
plagiarism.
Is a cool customer.
We'll unpack that when we get to it. And my monster mash is now the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you. Pretty rough rhyme there.
Oh, that's the guy who wrote the song.
That's Boris, the guy who wrote the song.
Or Boris Karloff.
Or Boris Karloff. And then sure. They have the monster shows up at the end and goes, mash good. Easy, Igor, you impetuous boy. And then the song fades out. Well, that was, I'm sure, to be your favorite version of Monster Mash going forward is our halting read-through of it. Just time to get you in the mood for the holiday season.
The first thing I noticed from, because I feel like I kind of glanced over at the end there, because I feel like that's the key, which is it begins with the scientist and the monster is singing. I mean, the monster starts dancing.
Yes,
correct.
But the monster leaves the song, and the scientist is inspecting what's going on down here.
Yes.
And it's just him. And then at the end, the monster comes in. He's like, mash good. He's like, easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy. Like, he wanted to check to make sure.
Impetuous fool. Huh? You impetuous young boy. I just was funny.
You impetuous young boy.
Right, that's like a little bit of a vibe of like a parent checking like, hey, what's this rowdy thing going on outside? It's easy, young boy. You're not allowed out there. And then like checking to see what's going on. And then at the end of the song, the arc is like, no, what? You're good to mash. You can come mash now.
You think he... Wait, so I'm sorry. You're saying you think he, like, kicks Igor out for partying?
No. I think he's worried... Because, look, there's two locations. There's the top of the lab.
Laboratory and the castle east.
Yes. It would be like, imagine if this was like, how many times have we done freaking Footloose? But it'd be like, look, this monster that he just created that he probably put, like, the mind of a brilliant scientist. He thinks it's going to be, like, a great... intelligent monster to prove all of his, you know, science friends wrong or whatever, all of his fellow scientists. And then this thing starts dancing. He's like, what is this? What is this sinful influence on my newly created monster? Let me go see what's going on, because the monster doesn't come with him.
Yeah, except for the part where, okay.
No, the monster's not with him the entire time. And then at the end of the song, after he checks out everything that's going on, he goes, okay, monster, come on down. It's good. You can dance.
Okay, just hear me out, not to be pedantic, but he doesn't actually leave. From my laboratory to the master bedroom,
You're right. The
ghouls came from their humble abodes. That's like from the window to the walls, the sweat drips down my balls. That's like that's not that the guy in from the window to the walls is
going
from the window to the walls. Yeah.
Get low right now on genius.com to edit that from window to the wall and then be like, this is a reference to the 1962 hit Monster Mash, where in the time-honored tradition of dance songs, where the writer calls out locations in a way to establish the spatial breadth that their song can reach.
Yes.
So good.
So to me, this is like, here's an interesting question, is what causes And I, what's weird is it's like, because at the end of the song, you hear like the mash good. And then he says, easy. Oh, he does say you impetuous young boy.
Yeah.
Easy Igor, you impetuous young boy.
I didn't just make that up.
I thought it was, for some reason, I always thought it was you impetuous fool. Then I'm like, why is Matt saying easy, you young boy? So then I'm like, is Igor the name of his monster? Is that what's going on there?
I guess, isn't Igor the assistant in Frankenstein?
Igor's the assistant.
Igor's the assistant. Igor's actually in the band. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds.
Ignoring that continuity error.
There's a plot hole.
So here's my question, is what caused the monster to start mashing at the beginning?
Well, it's a mystery.
It's not like he's some sort of music mad scientist who, like, you know, like, again, that would be cool. Would be like he's got like a whole like DJ laboratory set up.
His lab is where his M Audio keyboard is with his copy of Ableton Live and his beats.
I just think the monster hears it first. Like the scientist is like, you know, concentrating, you know, in the zone, you know, plugged in, can't hear the outside world and doesn't realize the monster's come to life. And the monster doesn't come to life from science, but from art itself, the sounds of the monster mash.
Well, no, okay, but I would gently push back in that he says his eyes beheld an eerie sight. And then in verse 2, all the ghouls come from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. So that does seem to imply that that electricity itself, this drug.
Oh, I get it. Yes. Okay, to do a close read of the text, it seems like what is being implied here is that
electricity is ecstasy.
Yes, he's basically an e-dealer for the monsters, and there's a big monster rave. It seems to be the classic Frankenstein scene. The scientist is bringing his monster to life.
Yeah.
That is the eerie sight that he is beholding.
That's the work he's doing in the lab, Matt.
Okay, so yes, it's essentially that the eerie sight and the thing that he's seeing to his surprise are different things. The eerie sight is the monster coming to life, and then to his surprise, he starts dancing.
Yes, and then the other monsters come to where they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a graveyard smash.
I will say, though, how much scarier is it if he's sitting in the lab, like trying to get his NIH grant together, and then the slab of meat just rises? Man, freaky, scary, huh?
I do think that is funnier. I will say that. Because then it's basically, essentially, then the implication is that everyone, like, hears about this monster doing this great dance, the monster match, and they're like, hey, we need some of that juice so we can dance as good as that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they say to get a jolt from my electrodes. Yes. Okay, this is what I think. I think the real secret, I think the real key to this is Igor.
Oh.
Because he's obviously surprised. He's not trying to make the monster mash. He's not. I feel like Igor.
Igor jumped on the band immediately.
He's like a cool, moody teen who listens to that awesome music all day long.
Oh.
And the scientist is like, you know, it doesn't take him seriously as like, shut up, young boy. Like, you're impetuous. You don't know what you're doing. Just, you know, get my coffee or whatever. And he's like, but sir, I think in order to make life, you can't just have electrodes. You can't just have organs. You need something soulful. You need art. So then I think Igor plugs in his Walkman into the machine.
His Walkman.
When the scientist isn't paying attention and jolts music into it. And then he's the one who's responsible for it. Because Igor's like already pounding with the band and having a great time. So I feel like Igor's this like music loving teen.
Yes.
Can I say that this feels like a really good, Matt, like up to act one moment where this goes and they get it all going. Not the end of the movie, act one. And then Igor and the scientists look around in horror as all the undead on Earth rise from their graves with a thirst to fucking get down with it. And now they've created a global like catastrophe that they have to solve.
Wait a second. Hold on. What if you do, it's Trolls meets Dawn of the Dead, and it's like Igor creates a jam that gets all of the undead monsters boogieing down and doing the monster mash. But yes, now the dead have risen, and then like a fucking group of clerics and monster hunters led by Van Helsing.
Van Helsing comes back.
They have to create an anti-jam.
Okay, okay.
To play to drive them back down beneath the grave.
You both are missing a key. We can finally do a true sequel to one of our favorite movies. But this is the key. Remember, this is Monster Mash. This is a dance song.
Mm-hmm.
This is Step Up 3D with monsters. Look, bear with me. This is what you do. You do Igor. The scientist is going to lose his castle to some mall development or something,
some Silicon Valley billionaire,
and he's like, I need to get the scientific grant to save my castle. And Igor's just a young dancing teen who works for his uncle who also wants to save the castle. And then you can get this monster match. This is the beginning, and now they've created a group of dancers, and they're like, if these monsters can win the dance off. But it's Step Up 3D, but there are also Van Helsing coming after our dance crew.
Van Helsing's great grandson, Jam Helsing.
Jam Helsing.
Actually, yes, Jam Helsing's also a dancer, and then the monsters have to disguise themselves as not monsters when they're going to win the dance-off.
Oh, yeah, to infiltrate Jam Helsing's crew.
As long as we have a completely reasonable bank that is portrayed as the most horrible villain of all time.
Yes.
Like every bank in every movie where they're just like, I'm sorry, we need you to pay your mortgage. They're like, fuck
we
you.
We need our money back. Like, you signed
You haven't paid your mortgage in 7 years. What are you doing?
You haven't paid your mortgage in 7 years. Your scientific experiments are causing pollution and like spreading into the groundwater. Like, the whole town kind of wants you gone. Like, you know, we're a rather progressive society. We actually have a nice home for you. You know, we have some public housing for you. If you could just move out of there, they're like, no, my science is important. I'm trying to make this gross monster come to life.
This castle is my birthright. Bequeathed to me by my racist ancestors.
Yes. And Igor's just like a chill teen. He's just like, man, I wish Grandpa listened to some more music.
Yeah, Igor's either like, it's Grandpa who doesn't listen to music, or Igor is like one of the kids from the town who has to do an internship for school credit in order to graduate. So he's like, I guess I'll take an internship with the scientist.
He's like a lazy teen or the last one to sign up for intern day or whatever and stuck with the internship nobody wants, which is to help old man.
Igor is a neglected, overlooked, you know, picked on teen with a song in his heart. I remember he's Igor,
yes.
Right?
So,
you know, people are mean to Igor. No one takes him seriously. But, you know, like, and then rock and roll music is his escape, right?
Yes.
From his sad life,
yes.
Is that he puts on Frankie Valli and the Seasons. And, you know, like, that's our opening scene is him singing with the Jersey Boys. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's the assistant at the lab. I like that. I like that the doctor doesn't like music, but he's like, music's what, is, you know, makes us come to life, right? Like, I come to life when I hear music. And then I would do that. Igor, I think you do, wants to be a songwriter. He wants to be a rock and roll musician, right? Like, he
wants to write a hit, a smash.
Yeah, he's trying to write a graveyard. He's got a song called The Graveyard Smash. He's like, it's just not the right name. And so he's been working on it, and he's been, like, maybe playing it and stuff like that.
He's like, yo, old man, you know, scientist, like, check it out. I finally wrote a song. Can you listen to it? And he's like, no, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I thought you were done with your music crap or whatever. He's going to plug into the speaker system to make him listen to it, but he plugs it into the wrong thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He was like, where's your Beats by Dre, doc? Right here. And then he plugs it in and he's like, no, you fool. That's the electrodes. What?
Blah. So I was a little like, what year does this take place?
Oh, it takes place in modern times.
It's modern. It's 2020.
The teen is 100% being like, I just got the master class with Deadmau5, and now I'm going to make electronic music. Like, nice.
It's 2020, and the kid is stuck. He went for an internship here, but then COVID hit, so he's stuck inside the castle, and he's talking to his parents remotely because he can't leave the castle, and he's just trying to write his song. It takes place in 2020.
Okay.
I do like the 20. Well, because, okay, I will say this. There definitely is a magical reality thing going on with even dance movies. That's one of my favorite things about dance movies, why I so love them so much, and why I suspect Matt as well shares some of our all strange affinity with it, which is that these movies presuppose this very strange alternate universe where dancing is, in fact, the most important thing on Earth. You know, and so I think having a little bit of a fantasy element is okay here.
Yes.
Because these are all timeless. Yeah. Like, step-up movies are all timeless.
Yeah, I think the idea, look, the only thing that could step up would be if there was a group of Van Helsing.
Monsters in it.
If there were monsters and if Van Helsing was also trying to kill our dancers.
Talk about, by the way, not to dunk on Footloose for a second, but talk about the easiest fucking plot in the world is you just do, like, a thing everyone likes is banned, but one cool teen is gonna do it anyway. Like, fucking what a layup. Like, does that ever get old? That's great.
It's always good.
Now imagine that. This is my pitch. If anyone ever asked me what else you got in a Hollywood meeting, I'd be like, Footloose, but with competitive vaping.
Vape loose. I always wanted to do a sign spinner movie. A la Footloose.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
then it was
going to
be like, it's a cross-class thing where it's like the kid with the sign spinner sign in front of the big high-rise apartment building. And then, like, there's the daughter of, you know, the guy who owns the building, you know, like one of those. It's like kind of, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
Yeah, romance between a sign spinner and a rich person.
Yeah.
Man, you miss it, Will, because, like, you know that they have a world sign spinning championships every year in Vegas.
I know. What do you think inspired this? What do you think he's going to go to prove himself? You know, and he's going to learn that it's about to spin. And it's like going to be like, you forgot the core rule of sign spinning. It's not about you spinning. It's the thing you're pointing your giant arrow at. And he's like, oh my God, I've been so selfish.
Will you commit right here on this stage to go to the World Giant Singing Spanish Championships with me at some point?
Sure, if I can ever leave my house again.
All right.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
We got it. Look, I already see the climax. The climax is incredible. The climax is this Igor has stage fright. And the star dancer, the DJ.
Oh, he's been making electronic music behind. Yeah.
The DJ is the monster. Like the centerpiece of the dance thing is like the monster stands in the middle and like bounces to it. And like it's like the DJ. The ending is a split climax where the monster is captured by Jam Helsing. And a scientist has to save the monster while Igor has to go up on stage and replace the monster on stage. And then it's like, yes, again, this is the final. Like, if they win this, they save the castle or whatever. And Jam Helsing has taken their secret weapon because the monster always does this, like, dope move at the end of the dance or whatever.
Here's my only problem with that is I feel like we've done the stage fright person needs to overcome their fear and sing, like, five times is the climax of a story on this podcast.
But five times out of 200 episodes, when you think about it, Will, we've done
Look, there's definitely a good story break bingo drinking game thing.
Just saying, when they made Step Up 5, they didn't say, man, we've done, they have to dance to save the school at the end of this too many times. Like, well, no, because they're coming in for Step Up 5. They're expecting they're going to dance at the end. I mean, it doesn't have to be stage fright.
Have we used going viral as a plot point yet? Because that's my favorite plot point of all time.
Did we do one?
I think going viral as a plot point came up in the Tilly story, if I remember.
That's right.
Also,
that's
didn't we do an episode with like somebody who's going viral, like gives up their channel to somebody else and then they go?
Yeah, there was the Logan Paul one. Yeah.
Which, by the way, something like that did happen in the influencer world. Yeah, it was pretty wild. Anyway, Monster Mash. I mean, I love it. What do you want me to say?
To your point, well, in those dance movies, nobody has a fear of
dancing. Like, that's going to, like, if this is a dance movie, you need to deal with that pretty quick.
Yeah, it's true.
Look, Step Up 3D literally just hinges on whether or not these two people can do a twirly twirl. It's just like, there's this one twirl that's hard to do, and they show three different times during the movie that they don't do it very well, and then they do it.
Oh, dang, we didn't do that jump very well. And then the jump, like, isn't that cool.
Yeah, it's like it's
you've seen about 12 million cooler moves.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you realize, like, technically, like, if you're a dancer, like, ooh, that's a hard one, but, like, visually, it's like, I've seen a lot cooler stuff.
That's one of the big ones that, you know, having watched a lot of competitive b-boying, you would think you're like, a backflip is the coolest thing ever, because like when you see someone do a backflip, you're just like, yo, that dude just did a backflip. Or, yo, check out that backflip that person just did. However, a backflip is some basic ass shit in the world. Like, that's not going to win your crew any accolades. That's not going to cause the other crew to like fucking exclaim in fear that they've lost the dance battle. A backflip is basic.
I like that. Really, no, but it looks awesome. I think you got it. Igor can't do a backflip, and I think it should build up to whether or not Igor can do a backflip on stage, because the monster is the backflip king.
I was gonna say, okay, also, you do it like it being like a b-boy thing, like you just unlock something for me, is what if the monster, they got the wrong body, right? He was looking for like this Rhodes scholar, like someone who's like like an academic, you know, pursuits. The monster is a b-boy who went for one too many head spins and broke his neck.
Oh shit, that's so good.
And so he's got raw dance moves.
That's so good.
Yeah, the muscle memory of the monster's only fucking flares and fucking dope b-boy moves.
Oh, that's so good, because Igor wants to be a b-boy, right? And Igor wants to do this head spin move, but he just can't quite land it, no matter what he does. And it's because there's this insecurity, because you can't have any hesitation. It's such a dangerous move. You just gotta do it.
You gotta commit.
And then what you do is
you can up rock all day, dog, but if you don't commit,
you slowly reveal. No, this is so good. The monster's super good at it. And the monster's teaching him.
Oh, okay.
But it becomes a reveal later where it's like, do you know how I actually died? And then tells him, the scientist's like, this is why I told you you can't do the head spin. The head spin's too dangerous. It's not worth winning.
It's the verboten move. Okay, here's what you do. Okay, now we've got heat. Because you've got this Frankenstein breakdancer who's getting one last chance at glory right now. He's been brought back to life.
Yes.
He's going to take the monster mash all the way. And then you do, okay, so here's what I was going to say, is rather than do the stage fright angle, you do Frankenstein's been captured by Van Helsing. This also coincides with the low point where, you know, Igor's like, no matter how famous I am, everyone's still going to hate me, or like no one's going to love me, like whatever, right? He has his exits, because this has all been about, for Igor, it's all been about finding acceptance, right? But like you do that, the doctor, you know, wanting money for his research, takes credit for the song, right? And like is again, like steals the, or something like that. Anyways, this whole thing, you do the night of the big dance competition, Van Helsing gets captured. So the move, and you do that, we've seen it at this point, it's like, this is like such a trailer moment, is like our Frankenstein dancer does a headstand and then just his body spins, like, while his head stays still.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those, it's the ultimate move, right? Yes. Like, no one can beat that move. It's too good. And then you do at the end, like, to save the band and to save the day, Igor's going to do that move and die doing the jam. And then, no, hold on. And then it's this race against time because the doctor realizes, like, oh, no, like, Igor's taken all the wrong lessons and I've let him down. And he has to go rescue the B-boy so they can get to the dance in time so that Igor doesn't have to freaking die sacrificing himself for the music or whatever.
I just love the idea that he's backstage and talking to someone and it's just like, well, I just got flexed my neck really hard. It's gonna kill me instantly, but I have to do it to win the dance competition.
I think there's a way to make this work. I think there's a way to make this work with the thing I was
it's
just
like
thinking.
The wrestler at the end of the wrestler, like, he's gonna go out and he knows this could be the last time.
This is his plan for it, because again, if we're gonna do a dance movie, the other thing we need is we need this romance, and I think the key to that is Dracula and his son.
Yeah,
so I think Igor has a thing for Dracula's son, so then you get this fun little teen romance, right?
And Dracula's mad because this is the dance. He thinks the dance is the Transylvania
twist. Yes, you have this stuffy, oh, his son is all into like ballroom dancing, like old school Victoria dancing or whatever.
Yes.
And he's like, son, you don't do B-boy dancing. He's like, but dancing, Igor, I love him. He's like, he's a fool. Yes. Dracula being all like high, like, yes, class warfare, like snooty.
Yes.
But I was going to say the ending could be Igor is so desperate to save this thing. The plan is Dracula's son is going to bite him so that when he does the move and he dies, he'll come back as a vampire.
Oh, and he can do the immortal move. Yeah, then he can do the immortal move. He's like, I'm not a monster. I'm, you know, like, it's like, humans don't love me. Monsters don't love me. You know, I have nowhere to be or whatever. And then you do like, or something like that. That's interesting.
It's kind of Romeo and Juliet where it's like, clearly this plan is very immature and too drastic for two teenage boys to do, which is one's going to kill the other one. And they're going to do an immortal move just to save a castle because a guy who should have been paying his bills did it. So I feel like Dracula and the scientists don't get along. I feel like they both hear what the children are doing and they come together.
Yes. And then here's the next twist is that you do. The castle is Dracula's castle.
Dracula's
the landlord. And the scientist is renting lab space from Dracula.
Holy shit.
And Dracula's the snooty landlord who's teaching his son ballroom dance. He's like, it's how you get babes. It's like, Dad, it's not 1894 anymore.
And get babes, what babes? I haven't been outside for 400 years.
And then, yes, you do. Dracula's overprotective and doesn't want to let his son go outside because he's like, what if you party? I know you teens. You like to party till the sun comes up, and then that would kill you.
Yes. Holy shit.
Yes, very good.
You don't understand. You cannot party so hard.
And Dracula's scared because Van Helsing killed Dracula's wife. So he's like, if we ever go outside, Van Helsing will be there.
Fridge Dracula's wife.
Yes, because then the fact that Jam Helsing shows up, which is Jam Helsing is Van Helsing's cool son.
Okay, hear me out. You do, that's what he's always told Dracula Jr. And then you just find out that Dracula's wife left him for Van Helsing.
Yes.
Jam Helsing
Jam
Helsing is his wife's son. Yes. And then what you do is when they meet, Jam Helsing's like, yo, nah, pops, just so you know, like, we're not into the monster hunting stuff. I just dance. And Jam Helsing has this cool scene where, like, you know, he's got backwards cap and he's chewing bubble gum. He's like, I'm not into that old. I'm not. You guys are old people. We don't monster hunt. We just dance. And then they walk away like, OK, I guess we'll be safe. And then Jam Helsing turns around. He's like, we're going to hunt some monsters. Like, of course he has a like he dances, but he still hunts monsters.
Yeah, you can be both. You can be both in this day and age.
OK, this is next level. You do like fucking. This is just the Drac Jr. movie. Okay, so you do that. It's also very good because then Dracula Jr. like starts becoming friends with Van Helsing because maybe we're not so different. And one of the things they bond over is like, man, I hate my dad. And then Jam Helsing is like, yeah, I hate my stupid stepmom. Yeah. Right? And you're like, oh, he's got a bad stepmom. And then the twist is that his stepmom is his mom. Like,
that's good. Like
you reveal at the end that it's Dracula mom.
The low point is like Jam Helsing's going to convince Dracula Jr. to kill his dad. Because he's a monster hunter. He's like, your dad's a monster.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a monster. I've seen you dance. you're a good person, but your dad's a monster. He drove your mom away, and he kills people because he's Dracula. And then that will be like the low point for, because he's trying, yeah, he's got a bad relationship with his father. And then Jam Helsing convincing Dracula Jr. to, you know, the best way to do this is take care of monsters.
Let me see if I can round up all of our various pieces here.
Why don't you do that after our quick little break?
Oh.
Yeah, do that after the break, my man.
We got a money mash. Was that good?
That was good.
No.
It's time to make some cash.
There we go. Thank you, Will.
Macho Man to the top rope. The flying elbow. The cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Saturdays on Maximum Fun. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Back to the mash.
Back to the monster mash.
I think this is one of the few times we got such a good foundation here that we can actually, like, let's go through that five acts. Let's, like, break it all down, Will.
Wow. It's been a while.
Yeah. Start piecing it together.
Piece it. Piece it.
All right.
Piece
so
it.
Just to give a 10,000-foot view in terms of our cast of characters, which has ballooned quite a bit, we've got the doctor.
Yes.
We have the Franken break dancer, Breakenstein.
What's the scientist's name?
He's the doctor. I don't think you ever hear his
name. All right, he's Doc. He's
Doc.
Doc.
Yeah, he's Doc. Okay, so you got Doc. You've got Breakenstein. You've got...
Very good.
You've got Igor.
Igor.
The lonely young teen who just wants to be a rock and roll musician.
And dance, maybe?
Yes.
Then you've got Dracula, the snooty landlord. Then you have Dracula's son.
DJ for Dracula Jr.
DJ for Dracula Jr. Okay. So you've got DJ. We've got Van Helsing. I think maybe Jam Helsing should be a girl Van Helsing.
Jam Helsing.
Yeah. So we've got Jan Helsing. J-A-N.
I mean, she could be Jam Helsing because Jam Helsing's a good name.
Jam Helsing's still cooler. Okay. So we've got Jam Helsing. And then we've got Van Helsing. And then we have Dracula's mom and Jam Helsing's stepmom.
Okay.
Okay. So our story begins at Transylvania Castle. And Doc is working in his lab.
Mm-hmm.
Late one night. Sorry, just wanted to throw in there. Make sure we're staying true to the... thank you. Okay.
I have.
Oh, no. This is the Matt Derail laugh. Let's hear it.
No, it's not Derail. I think I know what it... I mean, this is so tropey, but like, I think this is what it has to be. Because, yes, we don't want to do stage fright, but now we have set up. We can't not do essentially Dirty Dancing because you've set up that DJ is a ballroom dancer and can't do break dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the ending, of course, is going to be, yes, Igor does all these DJ jams and like all stuff, but he's got a song that's too quiet, like whether it's like, you know, again, like the quiet song in Sing Street, mm-hmm. you know, and the final dance, since Breakenstein's not there, I can't do the cool move. It should be, we're not going to rock people's faces off. We're going to make them cry. And
we're
then
move them.
Yes. And the DJ's going to be like, play your song. He's like, what? That song's not ready. It's like, it's time to release. It's time to show the world who you really are, Igor. And then Igor's yes. going to play the quiet song. And DJ's going to do this beautiful dance like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Play
like,
your song.
And DJ.
Play the Transylvania twist.
Yes. And then DJ's going to play it. Is going to dance it in this beautiful mixture of ballroom and
break dancing
and stuff. And Dracula's going to realize what a shitty father he's been. And Doc's gonna realize, you know, what a terrible mentor he's been, and they're gonna see these two kids express themselves. Mm-hmm. And then Jam Helsing, who's in the middle about like, is literally like sniper rifle scoped up on them, is gonna, you know,
yes.
let go of the trigger and instead shoot the villagers that are on their way. You know, you actually, yeah, then you do the classic Jam Helsing pulls the trigger, like, no, what did you do? And then a villager falls right behind Dracula.
Yes, he just shoots a random civilian.
Yes, it's not even somebody who's here to cause trouble.
To be fair, that is a trope in dance movies, is a random civilian gets iced.
That's true. It's my favorite part of Step Up 3D. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, dude, that sniper shot, dude, the Call of Duty ass, like 360 no-scope in...
Okay. Well, first act.
He's working in the lab. fucking our kid is listening to music, right? Or is he working on like his electro beats or something
like
that?
Yes, he's using, I love that. He uses the machines because the machines have all the new sounds, like a theremin style sound, you know, this new sound, the theremin. But yes, I think he's one of those experimental artists that uses the sounds around him, like stomp, you know, and like all the doctor's machines create these cool synth tunes, these cool synth sounds I know he's heard before. So he keeps getting in trouble for doing this.
Okay, here you go. Here you go. This is the push and pull is that you do that, like, yes, Drac. So the doc is working in his lab, and he's trying to use the electricity to juice his new assistant to life. He's frustrated with Igor. He's, like, secretly, like, going to fire Igor, and this new genius that he's got on his table is going to be his new Franken assistant. So he's turning up the juice, right? Mm-hmm. And then you cut from that to Igor's chopping beats in his room using his setup, or he's got his theremin plugged in or whatever, but it's not getting enough volume. So then he turns up the volume, right? And then we cut back to the lab, and the lights start to flicker, and he sees his power voltage going down, right? So then he turns it up, and so basically, like, they're drawing more and more electricity, and then, like, you know, Dracula's in his apartment trying to lecture DJ on dancing, and then, like, their sounds going down. But basically, you do this, all results in then a wacky accident where at the climax of this, Igor plugs in his music to the wrong thing, and then a whole bunch of voltage of his sick beats gets blasted into the fucking air.
Yes.
In the middle of yelling at Igor, being like, you stupid fool. And then Breakenstein hears the music and rises and starts dancing.
Yes.
And this is in the middle of, like, they're arguing, and then, you know, Dracula comes and bangs on the door and is like, you're late with the rent again. And it's like this whole thing. And then this monster starts dancing, and everyone's like, oh man, that monster's sick at dancing.
And then the doc realizes, or Igor convinces the doc, mm-hmm. like, look, I'm sorry I did this, but your monster's alive. That's great. And yes, he's not a Rhodes scholar, but he's a dancer. And look, there's a dance off that's happening.
Yes.
That has just the right amount of money to pay back Dracula for the rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we won't get kicked out.
Yes. And
so that's good.
And Doc's like, fine.
Meanwhile, DJ, who's been, you know, kept in the east wing of the mansion, has, you know, came with his father to hear what all the ruckus was, and has seen this whole new type of dancing.
Yes.
And heard this whole new type of music. And now DJ is intrigued, right?
Yes.
And Igor's like, oh, it's that cute vampire boy from across the mansion. I've only seen him through the window. Oh, geez, I'm really nervous about talking to him, right? Okay. So very good. So yes. Now you've got the quest, which is that Doc is going to be grudgingly become their manager.
Yes, that's fun. Doc is not going to let the fate of his castle fall to Igor. So yes, he's like a shitty manager who doesn't understand the artist thinking about it on the business side. He's like getting all into, like, you know, the last year's winner was this. He doesn't really understand. So there's a little bit of like a push and pull between them.
Yes. So, okay. This is also very good. You do that, like, this electric music surge blasts out to the village and takes over the airwaves on the local village radio station. And then everyone hears the monster mash and the village goes crazy for it. They love it. And so that's what you do, like, proves. He's like, see, everyone loves our music. We could do this. We could win this competition.
Then they're a victim of their own success. And then the final act, when they do their quiet song instead, it's because literally every single final act is the monster mash because it's the most popular song in the world. And they're like, shit.
Yes. And that's where you get your celebrity cameos.
Yes, all doing different versions of the monster mash.
All these different remixes of the fucking, you know, we get the Macklemore mash.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. We get the Pitbull mash.
That's so good.
So
Bjork does one and it doesn't sound anything like it. Like, she's just like floating around the room.
Yeah, she's wearing her swan dress from the Oscars.
And then DJ is like, this is why you've hid me in the basement. You didn't want me to you told me the world was dangerous out there. Yeah, that classic.
There's a whole world out there. Yeah. You know, like, and they need one more dancer, right? Because they go to the end up, they're like, sorry, you need at least two dancers to be a breakdancing squad. And then the only person they can get to join them is DJ. So DJ sneaks out to join them. So then you do, okay, so there's a classic, it's one of these, you know?
Yeah.
So then they're training, they're falling in love, they're, you know, like, Breakenstein is giving advice to Igor about his feelings for Dracula. Dracula's learning to be less, you know, tightly wound in his music. He's got to learn the real way to do the music. They square off in the early regional match against Jam Helsing and her dad. Meanwhile, you do that, like, when the monster mash goes viral, Van Helsing's like, there's monsters. That only monsters could make music that fun. We have to go kill them.
Here's what we're missing, and I think this gives us the entire thing. We're just missing that little heat at the beginning. And here's what you do. Like, again, you don't necessarily need to be, they see each other, they fall in love. No. Mm-hmm. Let DJ be a little bit like a little Dracula. He's snobby. He understands the true art of dance. He's been doing this for 400 years. Doc is the one who's like, this is missing something. Like, I get this whole beatbox thing, but you're all pretty rough and, like, very unprofessional. That DJ
kid
DJ kid is a true dancer. So he hires him on the team, and Igor's like, man, I hate that DJ kid. He's so snobby.
Yes, that's true. Yes. You're right.
So
yes.
Igor's got the heart and the talent, but is, like, untrained, and DJ has got all the talent and the training. But then so they don't like each other at first, and they're trying to work it out.
The discipline.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the arc you have with them.
Okay, that's very good. I like that. And then I like that, you know, DJ learning from his cool new rebellious friend. They go skateboarding one night or whatever. And then he's like, Dad,
No. They don't go skateboarding. They all have, in just unexplained due to a brand integration, they all have like $3,000 one wheels. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, they was like, yeah, my buddy just finished the campaign for these gyroscopic one wheels on Kickstarter.
That should literally be it. I was going to be like that, you know, the doctor makes cool one wheels for them in his lab.
No, I like that the doctor is like short like $12,000 in rent. And like, clearly there's like $20,000 worth of one wheels in this sequence. Where it's just like, we're all one wheeling.
They go one wheeling, and he learns what being a cool teen is all about. Now he starts talking back to his dad. Maybe he's got feelings for this other kid.
He starts buying YouTuber merch. Yeah. He's like, Dad, I gotta get these Hypebeast drops. We don't need to stand in line for the supreme shit.
The low point would be Dracula's like, DJ, you're not doing the dance anymore, because I thought this was good, but this is like, and again, what it really is like, it's reminding him of the mom leaving.
Yes, it's reminding him of the mom leaving. And so then what you do is, he knows that if he puts his foot down, DJ could just walk out like his mom.
Yes.
So then Dracula conspires to sabotage their team.
Ooh,
right?
Yes.
He makes a deal with Van Helsing. Maybe not Van Helsing, but
Jan Helsing.
Oh, yeah. This would be the classic thing. He goes to Doc and he's like, I will let you fucking practice in this thing. I will give you your lab for free for the rest of time under one condition. You put an end to this dancing nonsense and you send Igor to go live with his mom again. Or like, you fire Igor.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yes.
So then the doctor takes the Faustian bargain. And then meanwhile, you know, like, Igor's got feelings for DJ and DJ's got feelings for Igor. But then like, he sees DJ hanging out with Jan Helsing because Jan Helsing's telling him about his mom, and then he sees them hug and he gets the wrong idea and he's all sad, and then it coincides with like him getting bullied by the villagers who's like, you still suck, Igor. So it's like, you do like all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, that's very good. I think, yes, absolutely. By the way, I think you do, like, first thing that he's like, Dad, mom didn't leave you because she got into dancing. Mom left you because you're abusive. You know? You're a piece of shit, Dad. That's why.
Yeah, you suck.
You suck.
You're a jerk.
If I leave you, it's because of what you're doing now, not because I get a free spirit and like one wheel around. Another thing is, I think the one wheel sequence gets interrupted by Jem Helsing and her cool monster hunter teens. So you get a cool fight scene where all these teens, it's like,
yeah, they're all on one wheels.
Yeah, exactly. You get like a West Side Story.
Hey, this is our one wheel turn. Yeah, this is where we go to blow off steam after dance practice by one wheeling.
Jam Helsing, you're nowhere near as cool as your dad. You can't fight us. And then she pulls out like a crossbow.
They have a big radical one wheel race. And at the end of it, they're all like, hey, man, we're all just kids, you know? Like,
and the movie 100% has like a shot where like the one wheel just goes off a curb and they're like doing a sick jump, and then it's like they tried their best. They clearly were like, we need to show a cool stunt with the one wheel, and like the producers say we have to do it, and they tried so hard. The DP put all of their craft into it, and it's just like, just doesn't,
the widest angle lens you could possibly
just
have,
like, just, as but low. It just doesn't look cool, like, you know what I mean? Like, just fucking sucks, because you're like, there's nothing happening here.
A one wheel can't really do much other than like fall 8 inches pretty good,
other than
exactly
gruesomely injure you when you fall off of it.
That's all very good.
Yeah, all right. So that builds up to then the climax of the movie is that, what is the climax of the movie?
I like all that. I like the parents, Faustian, you know what I'm trying to say, bargain.
Faustian
bargain.
Faustian.
That's all good. Yes, what's the climax? Is there a way to get somebody being kidnapped also?
Yes, you do the Van Helsing's kidnap B-boy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, yes.
Because it's a new type of monster. And he's like, you know, like, we need to, like, you know, like,
yeah, oh, that's right.
He's
going
to put him in his collection.
Yes, yeah. The kids decide to do it anyways.
Oh, you know what's great about that is that that gives you the, if it's like Van Helsing studying the new type of monster, aka dance monsters, that gives you like the ability to do like the weird cameo of a real life B-boy legend to just show up. They'd be like, who is this? And then it's like, oh my gosh, it's Crumbs. It's B-boy Crumbs. Yeah, it's like, I'm here. You know me. And then he starts doing this weird contort. You're just like, okay, I guess they got a cameo of a B-boy for this.
Yes, you do that. DJ and Igor, who are mad at each other because of the reasons contrived by their parents to make them mad at each other,
yes,
quash their beef. Maybe with Jan Helsing, who's a new friend now, they quash their beef to go save B-Boy.
No. Wait, I think we had it. It's they quash their beef. They tell their parents, too bad. We know what you're up to. We're going to do the performance anyways. Mm-hmm. And if we win, you save your castle. If we don't, you don't. But we're not doing this bullshit. We're playing our song. So then the only move is Jan Helsing's actually nervous about losing. So she steals Frankenstein.
Oh.
So now.
I see.
So, like, they've quashed their beef together, but they still haven't done the full thing. They haven't expressed their true souls yet. So
I see. So you're saying, like, right before.
Yes. They're about to
go to the tournament with B-Boy, and then they're like, we got to go on. Where's B-Boy? And
yes.
Then they get on. And who's that in the crew?
Yes.
It's B-Boy. He's being mind controlled by Jan Elsing, who stole a mind control device or something like that.
Yes. So now.
And then they have to jam so hard that they make B-Boy remember who he is, and then all three of them dance together.
No, they do their beautiful dance.
That's what I'm saying. They do their beautiful dance, and it breaks the spell, and then B-Boy dances with them.
Yes, yeah. And then everybody comes together at the end, like Shrek, and it's a dance number at the end, and everybody dances to the Monster Mash.
And then you do, like, that fun thing where everyone's dancing, and then, like, Drac looks at Doc, and Doc looks at Drac, and they shrug, and they just start, like, ballroom dancing. Like, they just start doing, like, a little jig together.
I hate that so much. I hate that so much, dude. That just chills down my spine.
Because then you would definitely do DJ and Igor dancing, and they see their two dads dance. Like, I guess we can't do this. I guess we can't do this anymore. Thanks, dads. You ruined this again. And they all run off.
You're bad dancers. Get out of here. The next movie is just them bullying Dracula and Doc for being bad dancers.
Oh, the way you set up the sequel is everybody's dancing. But wait, somebody isn't dancing. Who is that? And then off in the distance.
Santa Claus.
No, off in the distance is Jam Helsing with a crossbow over his shoulder.
I thought she was her friend. I thought she liked them.
I know. It's a dark turn. I don't know. I just like.
No, because the end is this is the post-credits tease is the Monster Mash wave. Makes it all the way to Santa's workshop. And then
the elves are going on strike because of the labor.
Yeah, they're like, he's like, why are the elves working? Why are they all dancing? And then you hear the Monster Mash and he goes, Igor! And then you realize that in the sequel, we reveal that Igor is part elf and that he's actually his parents that he was going to go get sent to live with are Saint Nick and Mrs. Claus. And then, like, he has to bring the Monster Mash to the North Pole.
Maybe that's the actual sequel. Maybe this is the fourth one. But then at some point you do, the Monster Mash goes through the airwaves and you follow it under the transatlantic cable line and you keep following as spreading through Europe, and then the camera cuts, and what's that? You hear the Soviet Union national anthem, and you cut to Soviet Russia, and they're like, stop the nuke. I know how to take down America. You essentially do Rocky IV, and the Monster Mash has spread to the Soviet Union. And you're like, oh, I guess this was in the 80s? And they're like, we're going to defeat America at their own game. We're going to create the Soviet Monster Mash.
Yeah.
The People's Mash.
The People's Mash. People's Mash. Anyways, that'll be Monster Mash 4.
It's a very, very silly movie, and I'm very proud of it.
This is fitting of the song. This is very good. I'd watch the shit out of this. You know what? I'll say this. I don't think there is a single dance Halloween movie. So
that's true.
This could be it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's true, but that's like saying, like, you know what I've never seen? I've never seen... like a
now you better come up with something as good as a dance Halloween movie, because this is something that's missing in my life.
I literally in my head I started to let's go into the mind of the Freddy Wong. It was like a fucking slot machine, and you could see, like, it was just like different holidays spinning on one wheel, and then the other one was different movie genres, and every time a combination landed, it was like the other third part of my mind was like, no, there's a movie for that. I'm like, fuck.
I mean, there's tons of Christmas dance movies.
I was like, there's been a Christmas horror movie. Shit, no, fuck.
Anyways, all right, that's good. I like that one.
Alrighty,
the Monster Mash, folks.
The Monster Mash. Bleh.
Man, when is there gonna be another step up? That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, good point. When's a Lifetime movie just gonna do a step up? That's gonna do it for us this week. I think a pretty good one. A pretty rowdy, a pretty decent little flick.
Pretty decent little jam.
Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much to Chad Ellis for cutting the podcast. Thank you so much to Maximum Fun. .org for hosting us, for being our podcast network. Check out all the great shows on the Maximum Fun Network at MaximumFun.org. Check out also Jordan Jesse Go, which I was on most recently. There's an episode with me on it.
Very cool.
Talking hilarious stuff on Jordan Jesse Go. So check that episode out as well.
Freddie has an understanding with our podcast.
I have an understanding. How's the social world? How's that fan art world going, Will?
You can check out all sorts of wonderful Storybreak fan art at RJ Storybreak on Twitter, including a, I don't know if this counts as fan art for us because it's technically Among Us fan art, but Dark Moon Home Video made an incredible poster for an Among Us movie while listening to our episode on the subject. So I feel like we get some inspo points on that.
Yeah, that fits.
So way to go, Dark Moon Home Video. You can check that out at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. You can join the discussion on what we should break next at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
Very cool.
Very.
All right, folks. Well,
thanks so much for listening. I hope everyone has a spooky month. Well, maybe not, actually, now that I think about it.
I'm okay with a non-spooky Halloween, given how
Let's have a non-spooky Halloween.
Let's have a boring, safe Halloween. Listen to Monster Mash. Freddie, take us out.
Okay, bye. This is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
This is Matt.
It's the Metster Mash.
Do people know about Monster Matt?
Monster Matt did not make a debut in this episode.
Someday we'll talk about it. It's okay.
No. As we fade out, everybody, Monster Matt is an alternate persona that Matt takes on after he's drunk in a lot of Monster Energy drink. This is the thing in college. He would wear all the Monster branded gear and then would just have like, and we're like, yeah, it was great. And he was like a real asshole.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. We took the identifying marks off this podcast. Just tell me your impressions.
It's really sexy.
My first thought is like Radiolab?
Definitely something popular.
Yeah, really popular. A hit show.
But funny, too. Like, does Tina Fey have a podcast?
Or the Marx Brothers?
Yeah, is this podcast Radiolab, but hosted by the Marx Brothers?
And sexy, like Sade? It reminds me of Sade.
Exactly. And they're all riding in a BMW.
Close, but not quite. Take a look behind these panels.
Whoa.
And then watch this rocket blast off into space.
Whoa.
Ooh.
And there's the pies we made you.
Oh.
Now, let's show you the podcast.
Oh. Wow, it was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Hold on.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That was 514 J.D. Power & Associates Podcasting Awards.
That was really scary.
But compelling.
I guess I should definitely subscribe to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Jordan, Jesse, Go. A real podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.